You ready for the word this morning? Amen and amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to continue on what I introduced, and I believe that we can finish it today, about the operation of faith under fire. And so, Father, today as I deliver the word to your wonderful people, may they get a hold of it, and may they begin to really understand it in a wonderful and beautiful way so that they are protected from the onslaughts of our adversary, the enemy. And everybody said, if you will, open up to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And let's go to verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and he came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast him out? Now follow me real close. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. I want you to underline the term unbelief, because it's not worded that way in the Greek language, the original language. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. My translation said for you, but actually it's to you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. When I saw that, it really stopped me a little bit. And the Lord spoke to me and said that that verse should not have been placed there. Well, then I went back to my inner linear, and it's not there. However, there is another place that this verse is there, and it says it this way. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer. Except by prayer. The word fasting is not there. And I was rejoicing because it proved to me that fasting isn't all that important. Hey! Fasting is eliminated. I can continue to eat. All I have to do is pray and demons move. Couldn't be more wrong. But if you look over in Mark chapter 9, this is where the story is mentioned again. So let's go over there, Mark chapter 9. First of all, this word for unbelief, before we get there, should have been translated, it's the little faith of you. It's the little faith of you. I thought this was very interesting. We looked at this verse and this is the first thing that spoke to me. In order for me to deal with the devil, I got to have great faith. I've got to have mature faith. How many of you, when you read that, you thought that way? Matter of fact, some people come up with this doctrine that mustard seed faith will move a mountain. And mustard seed faith won't move your mountain. It's as a grain of mustard seed. It be little, little. Though it's little, if it grows, if it develops, you know, if your faith is growing in you and develops in you, bam, that mountain will eventually move itself. It's called maturity. But in the meantime, if you're faced with the mountain, and that thing's got to move now, you can't wait to get you become some theologian, you know, in your faith, you know. Well, where does that stand? Well, this is very interesting. He does say, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer. And that's where you find that in Mark chapter 9. Let's go there. And you guys probably already there, but let me get there. In Mark chapter 9, verse 14, let's read it. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and the scribes disputing with them. Immediately when he saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, why are you discussing with them? Then one from the multitude answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever he seizes him, he throws him down and he foams at the mouth, gnaws his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples and they should cast him out, but they could not. And he answered and said, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long shall I has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And he often has thrown both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us to help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the people running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to him, you deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out. And the spirit came out and said, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him. And when he came to his house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer, period. Well, you know, I wondered why Jesus didn't talk about praying and fasting in the same story before, but this time he's got, this kind cometh out but by prayer. Well, that confused me. Well, it dawned on me why that should not have been there the first time. Remember when the scribes and the Pharisees, Sadducees came to Jesus and said, Jesus, how come you and your followers don't fast and we do? And Jesus said, why should they fast? I'm here. So Jesus would not tell his disciples anything about fasting because he was present. Are you following me? But the writer of this epistle didn't follow true, but the writer to the other epistle brought out something that Jesus had said and says, however, this kind comes out by prayer. Are you following me? And not fasting. Well, the Lord told me, he says, fasting has nothing to do with moving the devil out of people's lives. Well, so, Lord, where are we going with this? He says, you're stuck with fasting. Where? Well, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament epistles and several of the others talked about fasting. When you come together to pray and fast, you know, abstain from the sexual relationship with your wife until afterwards, then come back together. Praying and fasting. How we jump over into the epistles with the fast. Well, Jesus isn't here. Well, why fast? Ooh, that's a real good one. I found out now what good fasting does. If you want to know about it, come Wednesday night. I'm serious. Come Wednesday night and you'll find out what fasting does. When I learned the secret to fasting, now I'm committed to it. Darn. Anyway. And when I said darn, I'm speaking from my flesh. You know, I can speak from my spirit, but I can speak from my flesh too. Anyway. Why am I telling you all this? Because there are two operations to faith. There's one called a growing faith. Then there's an operation of faith when you're under fire, when you're in the test or trial. Are you following me? And they do function differently. And I hadn't seen that until you wonderful people brought me the question. You brought me the question by your own life. Why aren't they more victorious under fire? Why am I not more victorious under fire? Why do I fall apart like a cheap watch, like I hadn't even learned anything when testing and trials come my way? Have you guys ever wondered that about yourself? But oh, I dare not suggest that that happens to you guys when you get into a test or trial. You know, I don't mean to do that, but you do! Now, have you, any of you really had the circumstances of life come at you? Oh, yeah. It'll tell you in the commercials, it comes out to you fast. Boy, when you're caught off guard, that can really tell what you're made of. This word for prayer here is a very interesting word. It means one who supplicates. One who supplicates. Guess where this prayer is found? It's found in Ephesians 6, given to a believer who has conditioned himself in the stewardship of his life, and he's chosen by the Lord to intercede for another. It's the same word for prayer. When this word for prayer here is mentioned, it is referring to a prayer that literally is a prayer of God in the heart of a believer. Woo! I like my commentaries and my some of my Greek manuals, you know. They get in there. We don't understand why this particular prayer is translated a prayer of God. How can a believer pray a prayer that God is praying? You know what I call that? What are you saying? So when they see that word for prayer there is translated a prayer of God, it kind of would indicate this is a prayer that God has to pray. And so they're in confusion. All as he was saying is in the heart of a believer, there is a prayer that we can partake of that God is in agreement with. It's a prayer that God would accept. It's the same prayer that is mentioned over in 1 John chapter 5. It says, when you ask God and you begin to pray and believe that your petition is granted, he's talking about a prayer that you pray over another believer who's missing the mark with God, but he hasn't entered into death. Are you following me? There are believers who are unmovable in their stance, and therefore they've entered into harm's way, and they are an advocate for the enemy. Because in 1 John 5, that's what it's dealing with. He said, you don't have to pray for them. I can't talk to them. I can't move in their conscience. They're set against me. But pray for this one who isn't. This kind of prayer. And so what he was saying, this kind comes out by a specific prayer that God wants you to use. And guess where the prayer is found? Over there where a believer is supposed to qualify to come against the powers and rulers in the darkness of this world. I was in a situation, a desperate situation. And thank God for doctors. But thank God I don't have to rely on them. I can go to them. I can get immediate help, get advice or something like that. The Higgins did it all the time. And they even preach it. But thank God you don't have to put your reliance there. You grow up. You know what I mean? But in the midst of this thing, God kept speaking the word back to me. In spite of the doctor. Keep speaking the word. Keep your trust on him. In spite of the doctor. So you can go to a doctor and he can help you. But when I had that vertigo, I freaked out. My whole world was spinning. Well, I said, bless God, I'm going to ignore this and get out my car and just drive down the street and go to work. Oh, everybody would be happy with that. No, what I did is I went to the emergency room. And the doctor confirmed, worst case of vertigo I ever saw. Thanks a lot, Doc. Well, so he's telling me that there's certain things I can do, you know, to get it stabilized and certain movements and stuff. He says to me, you know, prayer really works. Oh, I could have. Oh. It ticked me off. So I says to him, I says, well, you know, I am a pastor. He says, well, that doesn't eliminate the prayer. So I started praying. I wanted to pray out in tongues, hoping he was against that, and he irritated him for what he said to me, but I didn't. But after I got my wits about me, so to speak, I did start praying. And I said, you know, Lord, I know what they want me to do and everything, but I got to trust you. I got to trust you. And so I get a hold of the Word and start getting a hold of the promise. It cleared up. Cleared all up. I don't take medication for it now or anything like that, but the medication they did prescribe didn't help anyway. But I was looking back on these things, and my mind did not cough up this thought. God, what about your promises? I'm ticked off at you, or this wouldn't happen. What are you trying to show me in this, God? What am I supposed to learn? Gee, I'm looking forward to this happening again so I could learn something else too. So what am I trying to learn? Well, that shows you right there, you don't have a mind that is being renovated to stabilize you in the midst of test or trial. But did you know that most of the tests and trials that I've had in my life, I'm going to tell you, I'm just being transparent as your pastor. Most of the tests and trials in my life, and this is a sad thing to say, but it's changed. Most of the time, I didn't handle them too well. I would go bonkers, you know, depending on the condition of them. Now, all of us, I'm not the exception to the rule here, dudes. You know, you do panic. You do get that way. You do get to the point where, well, this one's going to undo me. You know what I mean? But there is a place that you go under a test or trial that all of us go that I finally picked up with myself. You know what it was? In the midst of the test or the trial, my brain had a voice. Every time. Isn't that a revelation to you guys? Because you've never been there. When the test or trial hit, you've never been there where you had a voice. You know you did. Every one of you did. Because your carnal mind has a voice called the voice of the senses. Why? Because that part of your soul has been programmed by this world. Amen? The Lord told me that in Matthew chapter 7, the condition of faith was on the person. It's on the person. But when you get into Mark chapter 9, it's predicated or based upon the fact of the Word. The Word. How do I know that? By the term prayer. By the term prayer. That kind of prayer is prayed because the person has the ability to pray using the Word of God. Yes. Now, last night I was watching that story on Iraq on the History Channel. And as I'm thinking about the message for you this morning, I got to thinking about what the Lord had shown me about faith under fire versus growing faith. And you have to grow, you have to be consistently growing so that your faith operates better under fire. Because you can't have one without the other. You can't abuse growing faith and expect another faith under fire to work. They work together. But in the meantime, if you're not fully developed, your faith will still work. I found out how. I was watching these men under fire, and one thing that kept coming up, how many of you saw that last night? It was real good. I heard this statement many times, thank God for our training. Thank God for our training. Not once did you find a soldier sit there talking against the president. They were committed to the war. So they're in the war zone, and their training really helped them. Now, if we get under fire, if we get into a tribulation or persecution, what are we going to do? Are we going to do what maybe these soldiers should have done? Right in the midst of a firefight, right in the midst of death all around you, you say, Bush, get down here now! You got me in this mess, you get me out of it! Do you hear me, President Bush? I don't think so. Well, some Christians do God that way. How did I get into this mess? Oh, God! And they turn it on God. But I found out that when the tests and trials of life come your way, my Bible tells me it's because Satan is after the word that you've heard. That rhymes. And so when your head is under fire, that carnal mind has a voice. It's always going to be there. Why? It's in rebellion to God. It doesn't know anything. Your carnal mind will not say in the midst of a test or trial, stop. Calm down now. Be careful. The Word of God says, your carnal mind won't say that. That won't come out of your carnal mind. Why? It's impossible for it to. If it would come out of your carnal mind, we're okay. What? More fire? More voice of God? I don't think so. You know where the voice of God has to come from when you're under fire? It has to come in such a way it combats the carnal mind's voice. You got to resurrect another voice in there. And I hadn't seen that before. Are you guys getting something here this morning? So you're always going to have a test and trial of life. They're going to come your way. But the apostles, they learned what it meant. They've learned that under pressure, under stress, under trial, they've learned that the joy of the Lord is their strength. They learn how to control themselves under pressure. Why? Because, first of all, they were developing in their faith. Their faith was growing stronger. The word in them was growing in them. Are you following what I'm saying? But when they got under a test or a trial, they learned something else about the position they were in with God than they've ever learned before. In spite of what you know, in spite of the little faith, there's something that they have learned that you and I can find out about us that we can do in the midst of all that garbage and not question whether we have enough faith or not. Because your carnal mind will tell you in the midst of anything they hit you is you don't have enough faith, baby. It's the first thing that'll come to you. Or you'll question. It's kind of like, just because I know the word, God has a commitment to protect me. Baloney. It's because you know the word, Satan will come. But wouldn't that be something? You learned a revelation in the Word of God and you went, whee! Oh, that's cool. Satan hits you and you go, God, why are you doing this to me? And Satan, you know what he's doing? He's around the corner laughing his head off. They're blaming God. It's like this cartoon I saw. Showed this whole crowd lynching a handgun. And these two robbers behind the other side of the building. Look at that, they're hanging the handgun. Yeah, that sure takes it off us. Handguns were not designed to rob or kill anybody. It's the person behind the handgun. We're getting a break. Well, that's the way Satan is when he sees that you're not exercising your rights to a promise that's been committed to you, solidified through the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? In Ephesians chapter 6, you know that warfare with the devil? You know it says against principalities, powers, and spiritual darkness in heavenly place, after having done all to stand therefore and everything. When we read that, we think that all of us qualify for that. But at verse 10 of Ephesians 6, it says, and for the rest of you, because the book of Ephesians is a progressive book, it progresses to maturity. And then it says, those who are not mature, those of you that are mature, this is what you need to do for them. I ought to get an applause on that. You know what? When you get under fire or under trial and the enemy is hitting you, don't pay attention to whether you got enough faith or not. You know what that's called? Head knowledge. You don't fight the enemy with head knowledge. You don't fight the enemy with your head. Well, how do I know it's my head? Your senses will tell you. This is going to undo me. Head. I ain't going to make it out of there. Head. If you ever have some entity appear to you and tell you that you don't expect to get out of everything that you've been tested with, rebuke it. Because God came into your life to equip you in such a way that your flesh and the powers of darkness have no control over your life. Jesus actually gives you your fullness of life back. It's up to you whether you take it or not. He did everything to provide for you. So under fire, you don't sit there and say, oh, Lord, what am I going to do with this one? No, what you do is you pull the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, out, and you go after the enemy. You don't listen to him and go after your head. You know, it wouldn't hurt to pick the sword and start lashing at your head with it. Because it can be your worst enemy, too, because it's got a big mouth. Your carnal mind has a flapping jaw. If you don't control it, it'll tell you anything. It will. And so you have to open your mouth up and you have to speak the Word of God under trial. Are you following me? That's what you have to do. And usually when I go into prayer, whether it's over my life or my loved ones or you, when I go into prayer, every time God has given me a word back, it has always been a word of encouragement, edification, strength. It offers a future, a hope to it. It doesn't say, oh, you tell them they bit the big one this time. That is not the love of my Father on your behalf. God will give you some insight. He'll give you a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. You know what a word of wisdom is? What to do about the present situation. You know, God gave me a word of wisdom one time when I was under trial. I said, God, I need a word from you. And I was sitting there and I just got quiet. And God says, you don't need a word. Just rest. What? Rest? Yeah, I got you covered. That's what the Lord told me. Well, yeah, could you tell me how you got me covered? You know what the Lord told me? Not necessary. He says, you wouldn't believe me anyway if I told you. He says, you got too much of your head. You know, sometimes we just need to give our carnal mind a rest. Tell it to shut up. You just need a rest. And I said, I need a rest. I said, no, I don't. I need to know how to fight this thing. God said, rest. And you know, being honest with you, I fought that sucker clear to the end. And you know what I found at the end? There could have been a rest for me. It's like this guy, he's crawling up a mud hill. Man, every step he takes it, you slide down. God says, hey, kick back, take a rest. And you just keep going at the hill. You saw, and you're just working on a hill. All of a sudden, you start sliding less and less. Finally, you're starting to climb up the hill. It dried up. You should have taken a rest. Wait till the hill froze up a little bit. You getting what I'm saying? Well, okay, Pastor Butler, what does my faith do under fire? Oh, I'm glad you asked that. Man, you guys asked some real good questions. I know you want to grow thereby. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 10. If you get a hold of this, it's going to help you. It sure has helped me, especially under fire. Praise the Lord. Let me get over there. 1 Corinthians. Need some different tabs. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Now, Paul is answering a question I don't want to get into, to those who are accusing him of his apostolic position, which a carnal mind will do that. But he brought out an interesting fact here that I never seen before about the operation of faith under fire. Number one, he says, for the weapons of our warfare. The word for warfare is the Greek word stratos, which means strategy. And he says, though we walk in the flesh, he said, our strategy does not come by what we see. It doesn't come by our senses. That is not the strategy of God. Because he says, and notice what he said about reasons here. He says, pulling down arguments or reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, he says the weapons, our strategy is not according to that which is physical, but it's mighty through God to pulling down of a stronghold. I never saw that a person who gets into a position of a stronghold literally becomes a prisoner to a situation. Do you know what I mean? How many of you follow what I'm saying? You become a prisoner to a situation. And he says, how you maintain being a prisoner of this situation is by reasonings. The word reasoning literally means one who comes with facts to argue against someone as a disputer. And your carnal mind has two voices. It has the voice of your carnal mind, and it has the voice of your spirit. And the voice of your carnal mind under a pressured situation, under a test and trial, it will begin to speak. Why? Because it's speaking according to its sensual knowledge. It's understandable. But you have to get to a place spiritually where even though your carnal mind says something, the Word of God has to have just as much a stand at saying something as your carnal mind does. Are you following what I'm saying? And I found out that under a test and trial, you don't question whether you have enough faith or not. You have to do something under a test and trial that'll work greater than whether you are of little faith or not. And it's called obedience to a promise. Yes. Amen. Now, Thank God he said what the reasonings were. He said those reasonings is a voice that speaks against the knowledge of God. You know when that voice speaks a lot of us? When you need the Word of God in a stronghold situation where it's trying to make you a prisoner to the circumstance. I found the best ingredient to isolate your carnal brain's voice. Speak it out your mouth. Your voice will say one thing, but let the Word of God say another. And it says, once your obedience... What obedience? Obedience to buy. You're going to bring every one of those thoughts captivity as an armed guard and make them a prisoner of your position with the Word of God and watch over that. Obedience like an armed guard. And when that disobedience starts to crop up again, whack it. Wow! I was sharing this one time with a brother when I first got it. He looked at me. Yeah. I said, "You ever go to church?" "All the time." "I never heard nothing like that." You know what? If I go to a church and I don't hear anything, I quit going. I go where I can hear something. Some believers, I'd just bring pillows. Good excuse for a nap. What? It's Sunday? You can kick back in the pew. Get some benefit out of it. If you ain't going to hear the Word, go to sleep. Enjoy your rest. But it'll cost you something. And so, what Paul was saying, he's saying, listen, this is the weapons of our warfare. It isn't giving into an argument or something speaking right directly against me in this situation, because they endeavor to warn me of the facts. But you know what? Somebody said, "Well, I'm not going to say I'm healed when I'm not." That's a lie. That person is whacked. Because you know what? Sickness and disease in your body, to be honest with you, in the redemptive work of Christ, you have the authority to kick it out. Don't sit there and say your body's lying. Your body is probably telling the truth. But you have a right to defend yourself against the opportunity of what it can do to you. You know, it says, there has been no temptation taken to you such as common to man. But listen to me. But with the temptation, God is able to give you a way of escape. Notice this. So that you're out of it. So that you'll bear under it. Until you come out of it. In closing, it says, when the word's sown, Satan cometh immediately. It's very interesting. He says to the first thing, he says, the sower sows the word. And some fall on different types of ground. The ground is the hearts of men. And notice he says, there's some of this ground that receive the word with gladness. But after a while, because affliction or persecution, when it comes, immediately they are offended for the word's sake. You know what that means? They heard the word. They enjoyed it. But they didn't realize within them is hard ground. What about this hard ground in a person? Here's what it is. It means shallow soil over a big rock. It literally means that when seed gets into that ground, because it's so hard, it can't take root. Do you know God's word is seed? But it will not come to life until it is taken root in you. Listen, He is the vine. We are the branches. If we don't get the seed of God's word connected to God in us, then when the day comes that we need to harvest that seed, it won't be in us. Why? Because the seed will die. And boy, a test or a trial will just move it right out. The Word of God will have no value in your life. Really, what you're hoping to is a sovereign act of God, because you're such a beautiful, irresponsible non-stewardship of His Word. Did you guys get something? You know, it says, and so endure for a season. You know the tense, the Greek in the tense, the voice and the mood. It is so that is so incredible what it says. And so endure, but for a time. You know what it means? It gives an assertion of the subject. It means character and kind. This character and kind, this type of person, is short-lived. The word short-lived, it's so endure, but for time, short-lived. In the Greek, what that literally means is this type of person has the ability to destroy the seed before the season will take it to harvest. They cut it short. You know how your faith works? It works with faith and... Faith and... Is it just a few of us saying that? Faith and...
Faith,
faith and...
Faith,
so, when you're under fire, you don't sit there and say, do I have a little faith or not? No, what you do is, I'm going to get a weapon of God. I'm going to find out just what my promises belong to me in this situation. And I'm going to put that up before God. And when my head starts speaking negatory, I'm going to flush it down the toilet with the Word of God. You have to say it. You have to speak it. I'll tell you what, when the Word is not at work in your heart, you'll always see the fruit on your limb. And it could, if it's creating life, you're in the right place. If the fruit on your tree is creating death, you're in the wrong place with God. If we would judge ourselves, how do you judge yourself? Look at the fruit on your branch. Is it producing what you want? Well, I'll tell you what, don't go blaming God. He's done everything He's going to do. It's up to you now to take advantage of what He paid for. What do you think the airlines would do if you'd say, come up to the booth there, and the stewardess, or the airline, not flight attendants, ticket lady. She said, well, you don't have to pay for your ticket, Jan. It's already paid for. You can go ahead and get on. I'm not going to get on that plane until I pay my way. You know what she'd do? There's something wrong with you. You whacked. No. They paid for your airfare. It's paid for. Not only that, they put a little extra money in there for a meal. Now you have to pay for your own meals on planes. I'm not going to get on that plane until I pay for it myself and my own meals. Hey, I don't care if you fly or not. That would be my attitude. Well, goodbye. And Jesus has been emanating that from us constantly in His Word. Paid for. Paid for. It's taken care of. God, why is this happening to me? It's not me. It's the devil. What? You got the Word. Father, I thank You for the Word of God. Stand up, everybody. But this morning, what I'm going to do is, first of all, I'm going to open the altar up for those that would like to receive salvation. Some of us might be just visiting here, maybe one person, I don't know. And maybe after being invited and you heard the Word and everything, there was a conviction in your heart to receive Jesus. We want to be able to receive you. And we will lay hands on you and see to it that you're actually birthed into the kingdom of God. You must be born again. It isn't by good thoughts or good works or good charity that you enter into life eternal, but it's because you simply make Jesus the Lord of your life. You turn your life over to Him. Praise God. And so if you fit that category this morning, we have altar ministers who are here to assist and help you in that area. And they'll be standing by so that when I dismiss you, you let me know that it's for salvation. you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, please, it is an absolute must that you be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Our altar ministers can help assist you in that area. Praise God. If you've spoken in tongues at one time and after that, then our altar ministers will help free you up in that area. Let your spirit loose. Amen. And the message this morning, if it spoke to your heart to be more consistent under fire, because fire will come, the evil day will prove what sort you are. And if there's gold and silver and precious stone abiding in you, the fire cannot consume. But if you waver, you have more wood, hay, and stubble in you, that fire can do a lot of damage. And so this morning, you might want me to just come into an agreement. You're going to make a commitment to be obedient under fire. Not to be some special faith giant, but to be obedient under fire so that the evil day will not overtake you. We want to pray for you as well. And so we'll pray for you, but that commitment in your heart is to God. So as I dismiss, you fit any one of those areas, please come up. And so with that said, you're dismissed. Those of you that would like.